Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Herb's Coffee House in Dallas, Texas, and the house is beginning to fill up, Kent. There's a lot of people coming in here, so we're doing this live, really just in the midst of a lot of people coming and going, and it adds to me kind of the excitement of what we're doing. And we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we've come to the ninth and last aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, Kent, and it's self-control. I'm calling this unyielding self-control. And so Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And now, really, if this was a baseball lineup, batting ninth, but it's not last in importance. It maybe it's a crescendo, ending strong, is self-control. And so, Ken, let's talk about this self-control. There it is, that the Holy Spirit produces in us self-control. The opposite of that would be we're out of control. And the flesh is controlling us and dominating us, or really to be self-controlled is in reality to be spirit-controlled, because this whole section is talking about walking in the Spirit. We need to be spirit-controlled in that sense, being self-controlled. And the idea is self-restraint, self-discipline. And literally from the original language, as Paul writes this, it's a compound word, and it means holding oneself in. And I think we would say today, holding oneself back rather than flying off the handle or just operating on our own, that we stay in our lane, that we stay self-contained by the Holy Spirit within the will of God, that we're not quickly reacting to things, and also that we're restraining our own passions, even fleshly desires, that there's a check on that, and that we restrain at time our words. I mean, Kent, you and I both can relate to this. Somebody says something, does something to us, and immediately queued up in our minds, on the tip of our tongue, this sarcastic response. And we just have to learn how to reel ourselves back and have a short leash. That's what self-control is. And it's used in 1 Corinthians 9:25 of an athlete who controls his diet, controls his schedule, controls just all of his operations so that there's maximum effort being poured into the event that he's training for. So 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. I mean, Kent, you played college golf. You know what that looks like. You couldn't just always do what you wanted to do. You had to go out and practice on your short game. You had to go to the range and practice hitting your driver and to learn how to say no to certain things so you can say yes to other things. That's self-control, and really that's what we need in the Christian life. It's used in 2 Peter 1:5-6, he says, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and then he says, and in your self-control perseverance. And so kind of the connection between knowledge and perseverance is self-control, that it's self-control that takes this knowledge and builds it in your life so that there is perseverance and endurance in the will of God and in the work of God. Without self-control, you'll never reach steadfastness and endurance in the Christian life. And so a synonym really for self-control would be discipline. discipline, and that you live a disciplined life. Now, that doesn't mean legalism. It doesn't mean that you're overly structured, but there is structure. There is structure, and there is an infrastructure in your spiritual life, and there are priorities that govern how you go about living your Christian life. And self-control is one of these important aspects. So Ken, I think we understand what that is requiring. The hard part is living it out.
Yeah, it really is. It is for me.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought is, and I think others out here listening may be thinking, and we've talked about this, that really the world system and Satan is always appealing to our flesh, our passions, our bodily appetites, or whatever you said.
Yeah.
And it's just a nudge, whether it's buy this car or buy this product or eat this food or drink this or go do these things. So
kind of an impulsive decision.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And so it's this. And so would you say then that this is in here because our flesh naturally is drawn to that? So it's really a battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
To discipline ourselves not to take that next bite or the next drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what this is talking about, isn't it? Is it controlling these
ability to say no.
Yeah.
When the easy thing would have been to say yes.
Or the natural thing.
The natural thing, the fleshly thing, would be to say, yes, I'll have another of this, or I'll trade this in for that. And not that that maybe is in and of itself wrong, but that you are, really the Spirit of God is so in control of your choices and how you carry out yourself. And it really even involves patience.
Right.
And to not be impulsive or so spontaneous that you haven't really thought this out, you haven't prayed about it. You're just there's a self-control. I don't know how else to put it.
So is it almost like our heart is being governed by the Holy Spirit? We're walking in the Spirit, and it somehow controls these natural passions and appeals that the world gives us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, there's all kinds of
There's
all kinds of lures out there that are pulling us in directions.
Even our time, right?
Even our time, our money, our influence, our possessions, acquisition, all those things. And it may be that any of those things may not in and of themselves be sinful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just I need to be under self-control as I move forward in pursuing this. Is the Spirit really leading me? Is God's hand upon me to pursue this? Or is this just kind of me doing this? And Kent, I just know I need this. I think we all like freedom and liberty and the ability to just do what I want to do when I want to do it, how I want to do it.
Right.
And that's not godly.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control is godly. Spirit control is godly. And I'm not just quickly doing things because something's dangled in front of me.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know, but I remember when you're growing up, they used to put governor on engines sometimes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To slow them down.
On golf carts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, on golf carts. That's almost like what we're saying here, isn't it?
The Spirit is like a governor or a sovereign governor to reel us in at
times. To slow us down.
To slow us down, absolutely. And for us to be willing to live with delayed pleasure rather than immediate gratification is also a mark of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we live in such an immediate society.
Yeah.
Self-control at times is willing for there to be a delayed gratification.
And we need to be aware of it, right? I mean, do we need to... it's almost like it... How much do we need to be thinking about this?
I think we need to think about it more than what we do because it really carries over into our spiritual life, I'm afraid. And that if there's not an immediate response to ministry or an immediate response to being gracious to someone, we may lose some self-control.
Yeah.
And in relationships, mm-hmm. maybe even with a spouse or with mm-hmm. children, mm-hmm. self-control. So I know I need this.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, thank you for joining us. If it's any encouragement to you, Kent and I are both challenged by this, and I trust that you're encouraged to seek the Lord, that there would be a genuine control in your life of your eyes, your tongue, your ears, your hands, your pocketbook, everything under the control of the Lord. Well, God bless you. Cannot wait for our next time together for Steadfast Hope.